You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Wake up, you guys.
I mean, our listeners are awake. We know that. And those woke people is who we're worried about. 7:08 in the morning. Hey, the first 2020 presidential debate next Tuesday night. We'll have it live at 6 here on 1030 The Voice.
Really?
Yes, we will.
Look at us.
Should be a show, man.
What day is that again?
Might be Tuesday.
Ed Alexander, Christy DeSimone, and you on the Wake Up Tucson show, 1030 The Voice. This hour of Wake Up Tucson brought to you by Cabco AZ, Central Arizona Block. Three great locations, Wetmore, Valencia, and out in Sierra Vista. Before we get to David, the Sunnyside Foundation that Bustos Media, KVOI, The Groove, we all came together to try to raise money for. We did hit the $50,000 mark and exceeded it.
Very good.
Last time I saw it was like $51,000. And then we did finish off taking care of the paying for Francisco's bike. If you just clicked in, he's a young man with cerebral palsy who has a specially made bike that was ripped off from him and damaged by some idiots, probably someone tweaked out on something. And so anyway, we all came together in 45 minutes of radio. Our good friends at Aho Bike came in and got him fitted for a new bike. The Wakeys raised $825 and gave it to Lugo Charities and Jesse also. And then Duff and Michelle Heron finished off the rest. So basically, and then Aho Bikes basically donated $1,600 worth of parts and labor to this whole thing. And Francisco has his new bike. So thanks to the Wakeys.
Thank you, Wakeys. Very expensive bike, but it's really cool.
And it's 10 times better than his other one. Yeah. It's literally one-third the weight. It's a little lower to the ground. So thank you, Wake Up Tucson listeners. You are the best. Let's go to Congressman David Schweikert.
Talk about the best.
He is one of the best. That's true.
And that's actually a very honorable thing your listeners did.
They do it all the time, David. They just keep amazing me over and over. I think they can't give any more, they give a little more, and they are truly amazing with a good spirit. So,
yay! Well, think about that. Sometimes we spend so much time being down on humanity. It's nice to know there's hope.
Absolutely, there's a lot of hope out there. Now I saw that your floor speech was postponed yesterday.
Yeah, it's the nature of dealing with the crazy of the scheduling. So we'll try to see if we can swap with someone else. And we were going to.
He had some kick-ass charts. I know that.
Oh no, I had a whole set of new charts. Don't make fun of my charts. I hold the record now. What I was just going to focus on is something very, very simple, but it's very difficult because it's disharmonious to what a lot of people want to hear. But think of the debt spike we've had this last 6 months. It's huge.
Right.
But if you actually look at the projections, it's still all about Medicare. And it's difficult to have that conversation because you get beyond this debt spike and then look at the next 10, 20, 30 years. It's just a blip. The curve is still the curve. So it's conversations you and I've had before of, there is a way to save the country, save Medicare, save Social Security. It just requires a lot of work, a lot of math, a lot of economic growth, and as few Democrats as possible.
So thank you. You had a Zoom call with some very smart people using big words like creating economic velocity. But you asked the question about without schools actually opening for in-person. Talk about the your question about being a barrier for academic activity and what the experts said.
Yeah, and when Anthony Goolsbee, the Democrat economist, is agreeing with me, you start to worry that saying, okay, maybe we have actually found, nirvana. We're actually looking at a lot of the growth numbers, and Arizona has done much, much, much better than the rest of the country. So for particularly those in the Grand Imperial State of Maricopa County, It's been the number one growth area in the country in sort of coming back. But for much of the country, they've sort of hit a wall, and that's because kids are not able to go to daycare, not able to go to school. And what that means is the opportunity for that family, for that mom, others, to be get back into the workplace is very, very difficult. So it turns out that even if you had opportunities, until you start to get schools open, those opportunities can't get filled.
Well, the pounding of fear by the media is just sick.
And the teachers union.
Yeah, it's just sick. I have a business owner who was telling me yesterday that, you know, he has one of his locations of his business has a lot of seniors. He does medical stuff. And the amount of people who are literally saying, I'm going to stay in my house in pain because I don't, because I'm still fearful of going anywhere near a medical practice or whatever. It's because they're just getting pounded with fear stuff all the time.
Well, that was actually one of the, you know, we actually had a doctor from Arizona there. And he actually testified as part of his discussion that he was seeing people with much more difficult situations because they didn't come in early.
Yeah.
They made their situation much worse. And that's one we don't really know how to calculate. He actually later told a story of someone who was having functionally a type of appendicitis and waited a couple extra days instead of racing to the hospital, making the procedure and everything else much, much more expensive, much more difficult.
David, could you hold on for one more break, please?
Of course.
I want to ask you, I want to get your opinion, a guy like yourself who I think we have similar feelings about the interpretation of the Constitution. I want to hear you, what you think the legacy of RBG is. Is that okay?
Okay. Well, all right, we'll talk about it, but not my area of expertise. But I also want to talk about some of the new public polling that's coming out around Arizona and what's happening in our Senate race.
All right. We'll start.
And also the president.
We'll start with that when we come back, okay?
All right.
Congressman David Schweikert and you. Noble Hops coming up on a Food Thursday, spotlighting great local restaurants in Tucson, Arizona. Ed Alexander, I used to roller skate the crap out of this one. I'm just telling you. Laces
enjoy.
In New Hyde Park. Here I come. All right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson Show. Christy Simone and new inductee to the Tucson Musicians Hall of Fame, Ed Alexander.
Woot.
And Congressman David Schweikert. David, welcome back.
David, welcome back.
No, I'm here. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I was trying to text you some outline of a poll, and it keeps coming back as a bad. Did you change your cell number?
No, sir.
All right. Then it's this wonderful being here in D.C. stuff.
It happens. So you were talking about some of the polling that was done in the state of Arizona. What have you learned? Because you're one of my big crosstab guys. So tell me, what did you learn?
Yeah. Oh, no. Actually, you say that. I have a box. Most people have no concept how big a real poll is. I have one here that's 1,200 pages.
Yikes.
Of crosstabs. And that's what, but that's actually what real politics, you know, when you do the math, is about. A lot of people don't like this, but politics is ultimately about the math. It helps you know who to talk to and what to talk about and who not to bother talking to. You know, it's that nature. What's interesting is if you go to Real Clear Politics, that
sure.
website, take a look at polls from yesterday. There was, I think it's an ABC poll. They did Florida and Arizona. And some of the rumors we'd been hearing for the last week or two that Arizona was getting much more competitive, Martha McSally's numbers had gotten much more competitive, are starting to show up in some of this public polling now.
So what are we seeing between her and the space guy?
1 point.
And
how functionally tied.
And how about
tied.
How about
president?
Yeah,
president was up one.
Wow.
Now you want to see? We all want to see some other polls that sort of confirm this. But even in our polling, you know, which is that North Phoenix area in Scottsdale, we'd seen substantial movement in the last 2 months, sort of almost back to something that looked much, much more normal. So it's worth paying attention to this, because there is this concept in politics that once you have momentum, you throw everything you have to keep it going, because it's hard to start. But once you have it going, it's also hard for the other side to stop it.
What are we seeing? So, you know, we learned this in 16, right? That Trump's silent majority kind of factor out there. That doesn't play into any of this polling, does it?
It does.
Okay.
But it's a longer conversation. A lot of pollsters are trying to find ways to ask questions to see if they can, shall we say, unmask sort of support that sometimes may be uncomfortable with outing themselves. So will you be voting for the more conservative nominee? Will you vote for the Republican instead of saying Trump or Biden?
Right.
I mean, there's a number of tactics going on where they'll re-ask the same question, just a very different way.
Now, how about some of the other congressional districts like Shedd and O'Halloran in one? What are we seeing
in
there?
That's the one that really seems to be in play in Arizona. Look, we were all expecting a lot more attention in our race. But after we came out of the field a couple of weeks ago, we understand why the Democrats are spending so little money on us. Our numbers are really good, and a lot of the hits on me don't really move the vote. But in that O'Halloran Shedd race, we're seeing that Shedd has a very good chance of being the next congressperson there.
And where's the opportunity that we're seeing in CD1 that did not occur in 2 years ago?
It partially did occur 2 years ago. The Republican candidate really didn't have the resources. Think about this. Trump won the district by, 1 point, 2 points up there. This time we think there's a very good chance the president will win CD1 by 4 or 5 points. That's a fairly substantial movement. But is that enough also to move the district towards the Republican voter or Republican congressional candidate? And as you can see, there's an old rule of thumb. If you see the sides moving their money, their television ads and those things to a particular place, it's because they're seeing something in the polling that they're excited or worried about.
Are there any other...
Follow the money.
Any other CDs out there that are closer than we think, or there's an opportunity?
Not really.
Okay.
CD1 probably is the true play.
Gotcha. Let's talk about... this morning I was playing a YouTube video, and I saw an ad for going out at LD11 on these LDs. It looks like there's a little bit of or a lot of outside money being played in some of these state legislative districts. Tell me about that.
Okay. How many votes do we control the Arizona House by?
I don't know. A couple? Few?
One.
One. Thank you.
A single vote is the difference between Arizona having at least, I believe, what is economically rational state legislature. Lose that vote, the Arizona House is tied. And all of a sudden, the ability for the extortion, the left is committed to do every bit of damage they can to charter schools and so many other things. So a single seat could change the state legislature. Be prepared to see money showing up in state legislative races, particularly House races, but also the state Senate, that you've never seen before. It's California money. It's big liberal organization money. So it's more than just the presidential race and the Senate race and congressional races like mine. Be prepared to see crazy for the state legislature.
Do we see Republican money coming in to counter some of this? I know Doug has done some stuff from his PACs that he's related to, but
it's not something as Republicans were particularly good at. We spend so much time fixated on the Senate races or the presidential races. But think how just focused the left has been on taking county attorney seats,
yep,
secretary of states, county recorders, and now they have the opportunity to go take the state legislature if they can get that one or two seats in the state house.
That was the other part that stung them a little bit in 16, right? Was that not only did Trump win, but all of a sudden all of these state legislators, legislatures were becoming Republican.
Well, we had had a remarkable growth in state legislatures during the Obama years.
Right.
And so there's a focus on the Democrat side to crawl back. Now, a lot of that's in other states where, you know, with redistricting here next year, in a lot of other states, state legislature makes those decisions on those lines. Arizona being a commission state, that's not as much as the motivation as the fact it's just really close.
Do we, we keep saying it over and over again, the Democrats just have been overplaying their hand from the beginning for the last 4 years. Is this backfiring on them?
I'm not sure.
Okay. We'll find out on November 4th.
We'd love to say that, but the fact of the matter is, even if they've overplayed their hand, they've been willing to open up their checkbooks.
Right.
You got to give the Democrats credit. Now, some of this is their massive billionaire. You know, the Democrats hate rich people except for when they're giving them money. But the Democrats, you got to give them credit, have been much more willing than the Republican side to put their money where their mouth is.
Well, David, thanks for sharing that with us. That's some good insight. I do appreciate it, as always. Have a good week, and we'll see you next week. And say hi to your wife, child, and coonhound for us.
Oh, yes. Well, I miss them. I'm, you know, been here in D.C. for a while, so time to get back home this weekend.
Amen. All right, sir. Safe travels.
Bye now.
All right, when we come back, we're doing a special Food Thursday. We got a good 1-2 punch here. We got the folks from Noble Hops here, Jason and Chef AJ. And then tomorrow, Jose Almanza from El Taco Rustico will be here at 7 o'clock tomorrow. That is, that'll be a fun one also. So, Chris and Ed, he's a 5-decade-long DJ. And so when people say, well, who's this guy? If it's not that guy in the newspaper, I said today, maybe Martin Scorsese really is moonlighting as my producer.
See that?
That's what I'm thinking. Noble Hops coming up. There's some 80s hair rock for you.
Oh, yeah.
Very rarely does Ed play Honeymoon Suite, as we like to say.
Unless you remind me. Thank you.
7:35 in the morning, you're on the Wake Up Tucson show. As I keep saying, life's too short to eat crap food, and we have a great local food scene here that we have been spotlighting on Wake Up Tucson for more than a decade now. Usually it's on Fridays, but sometimes we have other days, which is just a super bonus for Ed and I. We don't have to eat our cream of wheat. We get to eat great food from places like Noble Hops. So good morning to Jason. Jason, good morning, sir.
Bonjour, mio gente.
Oh, my gosh. And then we have Chef AJ. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Welcome aboard. I'm a guy who's lived in Oral Valley for a long, long time and have enjoyed the back patio of Noble Hops for quite a long time.
Yeah.
We actually had our Halloween party there a few years ago on the back patio. This is before probably both of your times. But when people say, hey, Jason, you manage Noble Hops, what kind of place is that? What do you tell somebody?
Oh, well, we're Tucson's very first original gastropub. So,
give me the definition.
Yeah, I was going to say pub being a place, you know, you come and hang out, get great food, drink great drinks, and gastro meaning with a focus on gastronomy, bistronomy, you know, excellent food with simple ingredients just made real well, delicious, creative.
So we know pubs from England and that area, right? Public house, right? That's
correct.
Where we went to meet. And then I think that the idea that it started as gastropub because pubs were never known for good food.
Right.
Right? So the gastro side was, we're still that kick-ass place to meet and have a beer, but we're making great food too.
Yeah, dead on.
So how would you describe the actual menu, Chef, when you appeal? So what kind of menu are you doing over there at Noble Hops?
So we're doing some unique items. I'm bringing more of a Baja twist to some of the things, tapa style, more individual bites. And I just came on recently a couple months ago, and I'm from
Well, not from. I'm originally from here, but I was in San Diego for 16 years.
Okay.
So I got accustomed to Baja flavors, and so that's what I'm bringing right now is we got fish tacos and aji poke tostadas and avocado tostadas and lots of other things. Then we do the gastro stuff where there's Chef Max and market fish and market steaks. Keep the creativity going.
So for you, what's your when you're building your this kind of newish menu? What's one or two of your? I mean, you brought two of these beautiful items.
These were my top two signature dishes that I thought. So I figured I'd let you guys try it and you tell me.
All right. And what did you bring us today?
So I got a Baja fish taco where I do a smoked poblano crema, and then I got the a fresh mango salsa on top with some cabbage, and then a red chili aioli, which is what an aioli is. We make our own.
Absolutely.
It's with chili. And then I got a And then I got an aji poke tostada. So it's my twist with aji poke. And then I put make it Baja style. So it's a tostada like with the wonton tostada chip, and then wakame seaweed, aji, red onions, cucumbers, avocados, and then a nice jalapeno on the top. Just give it a little.
You have an interesting food ingredient order when you're making your order every week.
Yeah, so it's got Baja twist because I like making Baja style food now. Traditionally, it was Italian and Mexican, but I like the ingredients out there in San Diego. So
very nice.
Yeah, yeah. I think Southern Arizona is really going to like this stuff. I think it's perfect.
Yeah,
yeah. A couple of beers, a couple of brewskis, and some of these. It's good stuff.
Tell us about the pub side of it in relation to beer selections and things like that. What are you guys offering? What are you proud of?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, we've always had our wide selection of 28 beers on tap. We focus on craft beer with from around the country, around the world, but with a special focus on, what's available locally made here in Arizona. We've also been focusing lately on expanding out our craft can and bottle selection. So we've really increased the inventory. We've got a lot of cool stuff coming in. It's been really difficult with coronavirus, all this. It's sort of impeded a lot of the supply chain as far as beer is concerned, but now we're finally starting to be able to get back in some of that new fun stuff. We've got our core offerings that are everybody's go-tos, Barrio, all those good local favorites, and now we've got some really exciting new crazy stuff like IPA that tastes like a Good Humor ice cream bar. And
so now you're
like
pushing
that.
It with me a little
I know
bit,
right?
So, I don't know if I want my beer tasting like an ice cream bar, but as I keep telling all my brew friends out there, I said, when is there an end to your madness? Is sometimes because they just keep pushing,
right.
Which is fine. And I know there's a few wins in there, and
yeah.
There's a few weird ones in there.
Yeah, God to answer them. That question, I don't think there is an end in sight. So, yeah, keep the crazy coming.
Let's talk about your patio, because this is, I think it's, again, one of the nicest patios in the northwestern side of Tucson. How many seats you got out there?
As the general manager, I should probably know that number
That's
off
okay.
the top of my head.
Anyway, but you can sit a lot of people outside.
We can sit a fair few. It's been a challenge with the social distancing requirements and all that, but rather than take out tables out there, we've tried to sort of push bigger tables together. So we've preserved a lot of our seating capacity out there.
Right.
And as we get busier, we've been thinking about, with the governor's executive order, we are able to put extra seating, out towards the sidewalk, maybe take out a couple spaces in the parking lot. We've got room to expand as we get into, the October, fall busy season here. So
okay.
Yeah, we'll try and serve as many people as we can, as safely as we can.
What's the hours of operation for Noble Hops in Oral Valley?
Sure, yeah. Well, right now we're back to opening at 11 a.m. every single day for lunch, and no break between lunch and dinner. Come in the afternoon anytime you like. Happy hour starts at 2 o'clock every day, goes till 6 p.m., and then we're open, depending on the day of the week, till 10 or 11 at night.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. So first of all, again, like I said, they've always done a good job on their food and their service, and the location's great. And so, like I said, the summer's going to end soon. Soon.
So they say. I've been told. Waiting on it.
I mean, we're looking a little toasty last week of September coming up, but hopefully by October 1st, it's got to go. Right. It's just got to go. And this is going to be, again, another go-to place for people in the northwest side of town to come eat Chef AJ's Baja-inspired goodness and have a beer on the patio.
Absolutely.
So here's my question for both of you. Now, Chef AJ, how long have you been in the market now?
I've been doing this 25 years.
All right. How long have you been? You're back in Tucson for...
But I've been back in Tucson about 3 months now.
Oh, perfect. So this is your, we asked this of all newbies on the show. I need two or three of your favorite locally owned restaurants in Tucson that is not related to the company you work for.
Mm.
What do you... I'm going to start with him because you've only been here back for 3 months. So what do you got for me, Jay?
Well, as much as I love AJ's Tacos, I got to give a shout out to Chef Maria over at Boca Tacos downtown. Some of my favorite tacos in Tucson that we don't make.
Gotcha.
And then I would say another restaurant. My wife and I really love Persian Room on Thornydale. Excellent kebabs. Tasty rice, all
greatest dining room in Tucson.
It's pretty phenomenal. It's like walking into a celestial Sumerian temple. Yeah, it's wild.
As we like to say, their bathroom is so nice; it's better than 70% of other restaurants' dining rooms.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
It's better than Caesar's Palace. Basically, is their bathroom. AJ, what do you got for me, buddy?
One of my favorite Mexican places, I don't know if they're open now, but was Cafe Poca Cosa.
She's still there.
Is she? Yeah, she's one of my favorites. I think she's unique.
Absolutely.
The menu changes constantly, and it's more chef-inspired. I really like that place.
Very good.
I also like the Baja Cafe for breakfast.
Absolutely.
And I think they get down on some good grub for pretty cheap prices. And then, I don't know, one of the top ones, I guess Vero Amore is one of my favorite Italian restaurants to go to for dinner and stuff.
What I like about Baja is he tries, you know, he tries all these different combos on the Benny's and the pancakes and different things like that. And whatever, I feel like whatever flavor combo, even if it feels a little like weird, he seems to nail it all the time.
The flavors are solid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
So check out noblehops.com. They are on the southeast corner of Lambert and La Canada, as Joe Higgins would say. La Canada in Oral Valley, just south of the Fry's Shopping Center. And give them a shot as the weather gets better. This should be kind of more of a go-to place for a lot of us living in Oral Valley, Marana, and Sun City area. So, guys, thanks for – we're going to try – I'm going to eat this food at the break. The food looks amazing. I'll give an official review after the break.
Great.
But thanks for everything. Yeah. And
thank you, gentlemen.
Keep doing the good work.
Thank you very much.
Noble Hops Oral Valley. Check us out tomorrow for Food Friday. It's going to be El Taco Rustico over on Oracle and Grant. Wake up. All right, 7:50 in the morning. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show. Let's go right to the phones. That Swordfish Taco, Ed. Off the wall.
That was great. That's what I didn't talk too much. I was eating.
That was very good. Let's go to Bruce Ash on line two. Bruce, what's going on, sir?
I just want to make a real quick comment about the ad that just played for Joe Biden's presidential bid.
Yes.
It just shows that if his lips are moving, he's lying. Everything he said is the exact antithesis of what that campaign and what that candidate plans to do.
Exactly.
The only thing that he told the truth on was more government resources for people because he wants to continue enslaving Americans and taking away their rights in the process. That's it, fellas. I just had to get that off my chest. I've been listening to that ad and getting nauseous for the last two or three days.
I do appreciate that his buyers are ignorant enough to buy our show. Yeah.
God bless him and God bless Bustos.
Absolutely. That's true.
You have to wonder how many times he had to practice, I'm Joe Biden and I approve this message.
So, you know, in honor of Bruce's call, Ed, we have the epic, the new epic montage of Joe Biden talking. So this is, we're going to dedicate this to Bruce Ash after this phone call. So here we go. Ed, play it for me. Or we could play, here we go.
I don't know.
Why doesn't he just act like a president? That's a stupid way to say it.
You know, Donald Trump was asked us.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, probably best
I don't know what I was going to say.
Look, tomorrow's Superstar Tuesday, and I want to thank you all. I tell you what, I'm rushing ahead, aren't I?
I would eliminate the capital gains tax. That, and I would raise the capital gains tax.
We choose unity over division. We choose science over fiction. We choose truth over facts.
I commuted every single solitary day to Wilmington, Delaware, over 500 miles a day. 250 miles a day.
All right, Chuck. Thank you very much.
All right. It's Chris, but anyway.
I just did Chris. No, I just did Chuck. I tell you what, man, these are back-to-back. Anyway.
I just can't figure the guy. It's like watching a yo-yo. I shouldn't have said it that way. It's like watching.
It feels that way. I want to ask you.
I'm coming directly to you for ask a quick favor.
And I tell you what, I'm so darn proud. And those poor people who have lost, anyway.
Back, I've been hearing numbers. Last time was, I think, all the way back in 2014, but I've been here before that. I love this place. Look, what's not to like about Vermont in terms of the beauty?
He's in New Hampshire.
If elected, you would turn 82 at the end of your first term. You'd be the oldest president in American history. Are you willing to commit American history?
American. Yes. We should make sure that we have no one going to jail for a drug offense. They go directly mandatory prison.
I would see to it for immediately moving toward, we're in fact in a position now that if in fact we dealt with mitigation across the board, just what we did in the last administration and before, leading to a standard that we provide efficiency for appliances. That saves billions of gallons of gasoline. I mean, billions of...
All appliances matter.
I think it's $2.3 billion worth of, $500 billion in savings and 2-point-something billion metric tons of CO2 going in the air.
Electric vehicles, in fact, the biggest problem is you can't stop to charge. We should have charging stations along every interstate highway in the country.
Yeah.
You pay for it just like you did gasoline.
Sure.
But if you can do that with bicycles in town, and you can put a nickel. I'm serious.
Play
put
the radio. Make sure the television, make sure you have the record player on at night. The phone. Make sure the kids hear words. A kid coming from a very poor school, a very poor background, will hear 4 million words fewer spoken by the time they get there.
What is that first issue for your presidency?
The first thing I would do is make sure that we defeat Donald Trump.
You've already done that.
You get a tax break for the racehorse. Why in God's name couldn't we provide an $8,000 tax credit for everybody who has child care costs? It would put 720 million women back in the workforce.
Four more years of Donald Trump will go down as an aberration. Hard to overcome the damage he's done, but we can overcome it. 8 more years of Donald Trump will change America in a fundamental way. The America we know will no longer exist.
By the way, this is my little sister, Valerie, and I'm Jill's husband. Oh, no, Valerie switched on me. This is my wife. This is my sister. They switched on me.
I'm prepared to say that I have a record of over 40 years.
Yeah.
And that I'm going to beat Joe Biden.
No man has a right to raise a hand to a woman in anger other than in self-defense, and that's rarely ever occurs. And so we have to just change the culture, period, and keep punching at it and punching at it and punching at it. If you agree with me, go to Joe 30330 and help me in this fight.
Oh, yeah. And the lion, dog face, pony soldier. You said you were, but you're.
Why attack Sanders? Why? You're getting nervous, man. Calm down. It's okay. 150 million people have been killed since 2007 when Bernie voted to exempt the gun manufacturers from liability. More.
There are probably anywhere from 10 to 15% of the people out there that are just not very good people.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by you know the thing. You have this notion that somehow if you're poor, you cannot do it. Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
It's a long way until November. We got more questions.
You got more questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black.
I'm ready on day one after more than 3 years in office. Why isn't Donald Trump ready? Mr. President, wake up.
Wake up,
we
Joe.
We cannot win this re-election. Excuse me. We can only re-elect Donald Trump.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this man.
He is so dang confused.
That's fine. Huh? There it is. You're good. That was, again, you know, some would accuse the Democrat Party of elder abuse on putting this guy out there.
Putting him up there and making a ham.
And actually, Matt, he keyed up on one when he said something about, well, the guy said, well, you'd be the oldest president in U.S. history. He's like, that's wrong. Winston Churchill.
Winston Churchill. Bruce, anything else there?
Hey, fellas, yesterday there was a quote from Joe Biden. Kamala Harris is ready to step in if somebody pushed me off a roof or something. Our friend Matt Neely says, make sure she walks in front of you, Joe.
Ooh, right?
Oh, my God. What? This guy is just a walking laugh machine.
The American people
Bruce,
cannot.
Have a good day, man.
Yeah, thank
great
you.
You
know what it is, right? In the end is the best part. So we know that the press has, you know, played the fear factor on the Rona, right? Like to the 27th millionth degree. But the idea that they want Trump out so bad that they would ignore every gaffe and silly, stupid thing that ever comes out of this guy's mouth is exactly why people don't trust him, like him, and pay less attention to him. This is a perfect. So when that line about men and women, you should never raise a hand to a woman. Right? Unless it's in self-defense. Then he goes, and it's an issue we just need to keep punching at, right? If Trump said that, they'd be running down the street with fire coming out of their hair and their ears. I mean, you can't make it up. You can't make it up. Ed, what do I got coming on next? I know I got Justine at the bottom of the hour. What's coming on? Oh, that's right. We have DEA Assistant Special Agent in Charge, Polo Ruiz.
Cool.
And we're going to talk about the fight on what's going on in the world of drugs in Tucson.
So the bottom of the hour, 2 minute news from first we have the business report, then we have the CBS News at the bottom. It was all anti-Trump for 2 minutes. Okay, it used to be it was the post office last week. Before that, it was something else. Now it's always something. They just they're crazy, man. What happened to the post office? Oh, it's not news anymore. It's not important anymore.
It's over.
They just keep making stuff up.
All right. Polo Ruiz, DEA Assistant Special Agent in Charge, coming up next. Wake up.